Welcome back to Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast with, it's number one podcast. Welcome back to Big Facts No Cap, the number one podcast with potty training and no body shaming. I am one of your hosts, Paul, and with me as always is Adrian. Let's get to no capping. Let's get to big facting.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
All right. How you doing tonight, Adrian?
I'm doing well, you know. I've been studying the bees as normal.
Studying them, okay.
Yep, it's winter, so they're hibernating, they're asleep. I don't know if you know this, but bees freeze during the winter, so they basically...
Do they just freeze like that?
Yeah, they freeze perfectly like icicles, and then when it heats up, they come back to life. They don't have blood like us, so...
Bees don't even have blood.
No, they just have like... It's kind of like ink. It's like ink that flows through their body. But I don't know how to explain it in a way that you'd understand, you know? Because you're like an accountant. So you don't understand, like, biology.
That's true. You can only understand one thing. There's only one thing you can choose. And like, when you choose your major, you don't know anything about anything else. Anything else you want to say, Adrian? Anything else you want to get off your chest?
Yeah. When I went to college... You know, there were a lot of things you could choose, and I was like, bees, you know? Because a lot of people pick
this
big
is the
things.
Understanding that you could only understand one thing, and you were like, I think bees is the one thing that I need to know. Because you can't do accounting in bees. You can only do bees, nothing else.
Yeah, and even then, like vaguer than accounting, you could just do business, right? Where it's like a lot of people are just like, I just want to know about business in general. And I was like, some people study business, and I'm like, what do you need to know about business? Like... Bees are something you encounter every day. Like, as a boy in Guatemala, I was stung by at least 6 bees.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In Guatemala, there's a lot of bees there. There's a lot of bees there.
Yeah, like, you...
Not a lot of businesses there.
There's not...
there's just a lot of bees.
There's more bees. Honestly, a lot of people don't know this, but, like, globally, there are more bees than there are businesses. So it's like, yeah, you may see a lot of businesses, but know that like in one beehive, there's as many businesses in your whole city.
Would you call Events by Snow a business?
Yeah, so Events by Snow is a business that does multiple businesses, though.
Yeah.
Because there's trivias, there's weddings.
I don't know if there's more bees than businesses.
There's definitely more bees than... Like, there's like almost 1 million bees in a hive. There's not 1 million businesses in Colombia.
Yeah.
Just like there are more rats than people in New York.
But do bees also have like a BBB, like a better business bureau? See,
that's one thing they got right in the bee movie. Like, bees are a lot more about like there's a lot more jobs. Like, people think there's just like queen bee and the worker bee.
Yeah.
But there's like, there's stand up comic bees, you know, there's bees that just go out and like do nothing but like drink honey all day. They're kind of like alcoholics.
Well, I'm asking right now, Google AI, are there more bees in the businesses? You're right. There are significantly more bees than businesses, both in the United States and globally.
I know this because I study bees. See, this is what I'm saying. I went to college to know things like this, and you went to college to know things like, I don't know.
Accounting.
What's an accounting thing? Like, taxes.
I'm really good at numbers. Like, ask me how many bee colonies there are in the world.
Okay, how many bee colonies are there in the world?
Probably like 1 million, 100 million, 100 million.
Okay, now how would I write that off on my taxes?
Depends. Are you a 1099 employee?
Yeah. I'm a contractor.
Okay. If you're a contractor, 1099 employee, what you're going to do in the HSA section, just check that off.
Check it off.
And then just go ahead and mail that bad boy right in. Yeah, hold the microphone away from you when you laugh at my jokes. We don't want to get any of that. Okay, anything else you want to say, Adrian? As a Guatemalan man, is there any word you feel like you wanted to say a lot and you've been holding it back on the first 300 episodes of this pod?
No, but I do want to come out and say that I'm pro AI. I think that like as everyone should know this statement about Adrian, my last name, is that...
You do not know your last name, Adrian. Just give it a guess. Honestly, that's crazy if you don't know his last... Your friends, you send him stuff on Facebook.
Adrian Guatemala.
Adrian Guatemala.
They call me AG on the street.
And I'm Paul Lebanon. Welcome to Big Facts, No Cap. No,
wait, you're from Lebanon?
Paul is Lebanese.
All right, that I don't know if that makes the accounting thing I was talking about earlier racist or not. I'm so sorry, Paul, if that is a racist thing for Lebanese people.
I don't think it is. I don't think it's a stereotype that Lebanese people are accountants.
Can you look up Google AI? What's the most common career among the Lebanese?
Yeah, I could do that. I'm on it. And then we should probably introduce ourselves. Do you want to guess?
That'd be the most popular career in Lebanon.
Oh, in Lebanon? Most popular?
Oh, wait. I guess of the Lebanese. Either one works.
Most popular job for the Lebanese people.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to say tailor.
The most popular jobs in... You said a tailor, like a clothes person. The most popular and in-demand jobs for Lebanese professionals, both domestically and internationally, are centered in technology, such as software development, AI, cybersecurity, banking/finance, and engineering. So the accounting thing was kind of right. That wasn't racist at all.
Yeah.
According to Google AI, you are good.
I know a lot about the Lebanese.
You know a lot about... Okay.
and now it's time to get into the captain.
Well, that was the captain. Now we have to get into the big fact. So, what's up? This is Phil, a frequent visitor of the pod / executive producer. But with me today, longtime listener, first time guest. Everybody, let's give it up for Christian Williams. Woo! Yeah, woo!
I would like to thank all the fans out there across the country. You know, I know we got people listening in San Francisco. I know we got people listening in D.C. I know we got people listening in South Carolina.
Why San Francisco? Is that where Adrian lives?
I know.
You're like, what's the gayest place I can think of? That's how your mind works. For just make a town in California. I mean, you got the D.C. right. Give it another shot of where Adrian
lives.
It's
Oakland. It's the Bay Area, right?
That's pretty much San Francisco. You just named a town next to a gay town. Oh, man. No, I'm not trying to cancel you. I'm not trying to cancel you.
Is this Sacramento?
It's pretty much Sacramento, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Also, Sacramento's the gay... California is a gay state, all right? So any city I was going to name in California.
It's a gay state. No, go off gay.
Yeah.
He lives in West Sacramento.
I'm gonna say this. This is maybe a controversial opinion. I'm going to say that Southerners probably think that all towns in California are gay.
Probably, yeah.
If I went up to the average person in Lizard's Ticket, shout out. They don't even got to pay us for this.
they're sponsoring this episode and this episode only.
You go into your average Lizard's Ticket and you go, hey, do you think there's a lot of gay people in Sacramento? And all of them are going to be like, yeah.
Yeah, probably. Really, anytime they mention California, they're either like they're hippies or there are a lot of gay people there.
Yeah, and people don't talk about the homeless problem, which is the real problem in California. They have more homeless than any other state. I think that is...
Really?
That's a fact. That's a big fact. No cap.
Do you know what city has the most homeless people by, like, I guess, ratio from, like, homeless to housed people? Unhoused people? I would guess Salt Lake City. I think that was up there for a while.
I'm going to guess a third world country.
But okay, in the U.S.
Oh, I don't know. That's so crazy.
Ew. It seems like a trivia question.
Detroit.
You're going to guess Detroit. I'm going to guess Salt Lake City.
No, it's too cold. El Paso. Oh, Austin. Austin's got to have all those homeless now.
It's kind of obvious, actually. New York City and Los Angeles have the highest homeless populations in the United States, but that's just because they have a lot of people there in general. You know what I mean? They probably have the most bees there, too.
Yeah, you want to look up homeless per capita. I can tell you New York does not have that many bees. They do have more rats than they do people, which is also insane.
That is, yeah, it's kind of like New Zealand, how they have more sheep than people.
And Australia has more kangaroos than people.
Los Angeles, New York City still have the highest per capita, and then... And then there's a town in the Philippines called Manila. Manila?
Manila.
Manila. But yeah, I'm Phil. This is
The Thriller in Manila.
Thriller in Manila. This is my roommate, one of my best friends, Christian, who's also a comedian and Paul and Adrian were like, hey, if we're ever sick 1 week and we can't record, can y'all just do an episode? So we don't know when this is going to release. Maybe next Friday. Maybe they're already sick.
Yeah, maybe they have monochlomosis.
Monochlomosis.
Yeah, that's when you kiss and you get monochlomosis. If you kiss people, you don't brush your teeth.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, that's how you get monos, from not brushing your teeth. Just like you get pink eye from poop.
Oh, damn. That's crazy that Margaret hasn't got pink eye yet.
What? That all dogs don't have pink eye? Oh, this is, you're trying to... And that's what we're talking about today.
We're talking about potty training. But before we get into the theme, what they usually do is like either a weekly roundup or a media roundup. Any movies you want to talk about that you watched?
Oh, yeah. Here's the media roundup. I've been watching The People's Court. You heard of this? No. It's this old TV show. I believe it's still on. It's Small Claims Court. You've been to Small Claims Court?
I've never been, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's where people just sue people over stupid stuff. But some guy in the...
Like accident claims?
Yeah, anything. Really? Anything. Some person in the 90s were like, we should put this on TV. And it's so fun to watch. Like Judge Judy, Judge Mathis, these are all Small Claims Court shows. But The People's Court is really good because like the judge, I forget her name, Miliana, I think it is like very sassy. But then also they do like a post-trial interview with this guy, Doug, and he is an asshole. Like, Doug, like whenever you go out there, like he talks to the loser first and he goes, well, I can't believe you came here with no evidence. Did you think you were going to win that way?
So he's at every single court briefing, like at the end?
Oh, yeah, dude. Every single time. We got to watch. We'll watch some episodes after this.
Yeah,
it's so good
that,
because it's like fun. You just get to watch. It's what most people think court is. Which is what Small Claims Court is, but it's like, it's not really based, it's based on evidence, but it's like whoever has the better argument. But then sometimes, like, because it's whatever and the judge can rule however they want, like, they can be like, all right, you both get this little bit of money, or she'll be like, you got to do this and you got to do this. So it's fun to watch because the judge has all the power.
Do you think it's like scripted like a lot of court shows are?
Oh, no, she gets to make, like, I think that, like, they go in there, it's less scripted than Maury in them, because it's like, you're basically going to Small Claims Court. You just have said that this judge in California is basically, like, your mediator, and you're going to go with the decision that she makes.
Yeah.
Which a lot of times is only, like, a couple $100. But, like, there was one yesterday with, like, kids kicking shit. There's a lot of, like, ones where it'll be, like, kids did this, or, like, your landlord, like, we were roommates and one person kicked us out and they're arguing over like who needs to pay for stuff.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So you've been watching that? Any other shows?
No. Still been watching.
I guess the only media roundup I have is the movie we watched last night. What was it called? Uncle Joe's Road Trip?
Oh, Joe's Road Trip. Joe's College Road. I'm not talking about a Tyler Perry movie during Black History Month on the podcast. I'm so sorry to say that. I hate Tyler Perry and I won't give him the plug.
Okay, you don't want to give him the plug. Okay, no. I appreciate that. You know what? I respect that. Okay.
No, watch real black media. Do not watch Tyler Perry.
I think I told you this, but like, you know, that one comedian won tickets to go see his play and it was like front row seats. And then they gave them to Adrian and I, and we went to see Tyler Perry's play at the Township Auditorium. We were front row. We were the only people there that were not black, and we loved it. We had so much fun though.
I believe his plays are like, the plays are so much better than the movies, because the movies are like, it's what most people don't like. It's like they're black caricatures. It's like they're so crazy. Like the movie last night, like they have a black kid that it's like so beyond a young Sheldon, and like he does not believe racism exists at all. And it's like his plays aren't like that. Like his plays are like super funny, normally based on like small issues within the black community, and he got like very popular off of that. But then like people were like, oh, we love this stupid Madea character, and he was like, oh, I'll just
make money off this. Yeah,
he's like, I'm gonna make so much money. And he's also been in guys' butts. I don't know if you've seen that lawsuit.
No.
Yeah, supposedly, well, this sounds crazy, but some guy was like, Tyler Perry assaulted me, and then he like told me if I blew him he was gonna give me like a couple $1 million or something like that. That's probably not true, but there have been a lot of allegations with him and assaulting people.
Wow, I did not know that. That's sad. I will say that this movie did have a lot of like extra, with the extras, you know, like that kid trying to be like a young Sheldon, that was very annoying, because I just like Joe was the funniest part of that movie. He's so good.
Yeah, and the movies are also just Tyler Perry playing against him. Like, for a person that has the right to hire as many black actors as he wants, he's like, yo, what if I just play everybody in this movie?
Save some money. Yeah, there was that one scene in the beginning where it was him, Madea, and then Uncle Joe all talking. And I forgot, like, it was like a 20 or 30 minute scene. I was like, this is a really like long dialogue, and you're like, this is a monologue. This is the same people. It's the same person.
He's just talking to himself. Dude, and this is the crazy part, is his studio is in Atlanta. There's 1,000 black comics. He could go on the street and hit a black actor or a comic. And he's like, you know what?
Some people.
When I make this movie for Netflix, it's going to be me, me, and me.
You see, David Lucas is in that Jonathan Majors movie they're doing about... they're filming it in South Carolina. What's that? You know what I'm talking about?
With Ben Shapiro?
Ben Shapiro's producing it, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw David Lucas was in that. I'm like, that doesn't surprise me at all. But I was like, hey, at least...
I fear it may be good. Jonathan Majors, yeah. Canceled person, great actor. That Gina guy has a really good bit. There's a comic that has a way better bit about this of like, we need to stop canceling actors. The tall guy we were talking about him the other day with the glasses.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But wait, what's that? What's that like old Western movie we watched for Jonathan Majors?
That the movie, Harder They Fall?
Dude, that movie is incredible. Sucks about him, but that's a great movie. Anyway, okay.
I'm sure Adrian likes the A24 movie. Adrian, the next time you're on the podcast, talk about the A24 movie he's in where he plays a bodybuilder. No, you've seen it. No, you have opinions on it.
Okay.
All right, Adrian,
you got some homework.
It's not homework. He's already seen the movie and he already has opinions. I'm willing to put $10 on this. If he hasn't seen it, I'll pay for you to watch it on Prime, Adrian.
Any other movies or shows with canceled black actors we want to go ahead and plug before we get into the theme?
Yeah, The Cosby Show. Oh, man, I did see a funny, which I forgot about this, but Everybody Hates Chris has a really funny like episode where they have a comic basically play Bill Cosby. Like, they do like a Cosby episode. Yeah, it's really funny.
Damn, okay.
So check that out.
Okay.
Instead of watching a Tyler Perry movie, go watch somebody make fun of a canceled black comic way before he got canceled.
Man, I need to see that. I always loved Hannibal Buress' bit about how much of an asshole Bill Cosby was. That was really funny. Okay, but yeah, okay. So yeah, other than that, not too much of a media roundup. The theme today is potty training. And we're going to talk about dog potty training, and we're going to talk about human potty training. Now, we don't have that much experience with human potty training, right? I don't know. Did you have to ever potty train like a baby or like a kid at camp?
No, I've changed some diapers. I've taken out a lot of first teeth, but I've never... It's super easy.
That was just a side thing, right? That wasn't even part of the camp.
Yeah, you just like biting an apple. Yeah, people pay you to take out their kid's tooth because people don't know what to do.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wait. Did your mom ever do that thing with you? Well, like taking out a tooth, like tie it to like a door handle or like a doorknob and like shut the door.
Yeah, it's so fun to do. It's like it's up there as like one of my favorite things to do at camp.
Really?
Because they'll be like, yeah, this kid's tooth is loose. What do we need to do? And then you go over, you get some gloves, and you see how much of a wiggle. Most of the time, you're like, it's not close. Yeah. You're like, eat a whole bunch of hard. Like normally, the next day we'll be like, eat a whole bunch of apples. You'll loosen it up. But then when it gets loose enough.
If they were like, if you could find some veneers that were, they look like normal teeth, right? They weren't like big, shiny, white ones. They just look like normal teeth. They'll be good forever, though. $30,000. And it doesn't mean a lot to you. You're already rich. Would you do it?
No, I've heard that they're, I'm going to sound like a conspiracy theory person. But like, I heard that they're bad for your back. There's a couple of athletes who have gotten veneers over the years and then their career. Some people believe like, because it. Like, I mean, like, everything in your body is aligned. That, like, when you fake your teeth and stuff like that, it changes your jaw alignment and it changes your back and everything. Ooh, from wow. There. So
I didn't know that.
I probably wouldn't. Like, if I needed them, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, it's, like, it could mess you up.
Yeah.
Which I'm not a professional athlete, but, like, what if it messes up how I walk?
That will be weird.
Or, like, your back starts hurting when you do, like, longer than a 10-minute set? But we're supposed to be talking about potty training dogs.
That's right. Potty training dog. We do know a lot about that. Okay, so when I got Frankie, she was already 10 months old, and they told us, they were like, yeah, she's pretty much potty trained, but she wasn't. So, like, when we got her to her house, she would do this thing every now and then where she would, like, go near the back door and kind of know that she needs to go outside to go to the bathroom, but not really put two and two together. And then she would just pee on the floor, or just like have a little accident, and then if we notice it immediately, we'll go open the door, and then she runs outside. And then enough times she started associating going outside with going to the bathroom. So then it just clicked. So now she just shits on the floor, and then we know she needs to go outside.
Here's the thing. I've never potty trained a dog. What you did does not sound like potty training. It seems like the dog potty trained itself, where you were constantly, because like
I opened that door though. She opened.
You were like, shit, she's peeing. Like Frankie had to do all the part of figuring it out.
We would have yelled at her. That's the thing though. Like she'd just pee and be like, all right, go outside, and then she was like, oh, I gotta go outside. But I'm glad she didn't really associate it with being like, I know if I pee right now on the floor, they're gonna let me outside, because you know how often. She waits by the door just to go outside. But she hasn't had an accident in this house in like a very long time. So yeah, when you got Margaret.
My street dog was already potty trained.
Yeah.
Perfectly.
Interesting. Do you think she ever even like went to the bathroom on the streets when she lived on the streets?
Oh yeah, she pees constantly. If you let her outside, she'll pee and poop anywhere.
Yeah.
She's smooth about it. Like some dogs are like, I've seen like little dogs that are like, I don't really know. My dog will poop anywhere you put it at. If she needs to poop, she's going.
Really? But like, so does she poop inside more than she pees inside?
She doesn't really do either one, poop or pee inside. But she does not like, we talked about this before, his dog will go stand by the door. My dog will not do anything. She can hold her pee and poo a long time.
There's no warning.
Like, there will be no, like, I told Phil this, like, there was one night where, like, I don't know what happened, but like I woke up the next morning and I smelled like poop, and she went and pooped in my bathroom. My bathroom was right next to my room.
To the bathroom. To poop.
And like she hates the bathroom, so I know she was purposely like, this is a place I can poop.
Yeah.
Went in there and pooped in there.
Just like right beside the toilet?
By the bathtub.
All right.
She's done it like, she's pooped in the house like 3 times. But then one time she pooped after I brought her inside. That's what I'm saying. There's no warning. If she's held it too long, she's just going to be like, oh, yeah, it's time to go. But most of the time, it doesn't happen.
For some reason, anytime that I get, like, I finesse, like, a rug or, like, some type of, like, big carpet for, like, the living room, Frankie thinks it's, like, grass or something or outside, and she'll pee on it within, like, a day. Like, and she never pees in the house, but she's like, oh, this is a safe zone for me to pee on. I can never have, like, I've never bought a rug. I've always got them for free from, like, a friend or, like, on the side of the road. Be like, okay, this is a good rug. Let's see how long this lasts. And usually not more than a day is that life cycle, because Frankie just thinks it's okay to pee on. It's comfy. It's cozy. She's like, all right, let's fuck it up.
Margaret has pooped in an office twice.
Well,
one time I don't know if it was her. There were two dogs in there, but I assumed it was mine because the other dog had been in the office a lot and not pooped in there.
Yeah, it was definitely Margaret.
But she also is like, it was an
one
older
was
dog.
It was a therapy dog that lived there.
Because like Margaret, all right, the one time she pooped inside, I took her to, man, I shared an office with this guy, Ben. So she goes upstairs to my office. And like, once again, I'm doing work in my office. But then slowly I'm like, I smell poop. Like I'm sitting here and I'm like, I smell poop. And like she had gotten up and walked around the office a couple times. And the door was open to the office. So she didn't go outside, but she just walked over by my co-worker Ben's desk and took a shit right there by his chair.
Damn.
But then I just cleaned it up.
Yeah.
Because like, as long as you don't push the poop down, that's the great thing about dog poop. As long as you don't push it down, it really doesn't make a spot. Like if you pick it up right, you're not going to have a spot on the carpet. The main thing is getting the smell out. What you're going to want to do, light a good candle. Mm-hmm. If you got carpet, don't spray carpet cleaner. I've been using a laundry detergent. Whenever my dog like throws up something or something in the house, I just do a little bit of laundry detergent and water.
Mm. I do know out of experience that it is way easier to clean up poop from a dog than to clean up pee. Like, it's just so much easier. Because if Frankie poops on the hardwood floor, I just pick it up, take it outside, and then I'll like even get like all-purpose cleaner and just spray the hardwood floor and then like just wipe it up and stuff. And it's fine. Like, no smell stays at all. But if she pees on like a carpet, that's almost impossible to clean, like to where it's like not smelling at all anymore.
You gotta do vinegar.
I mean, vinegar does soak up the smell of, like, everything, yeah.
Gotta do that vinegar. Shout out to Josephine. I know that. She's got an elderly dog and a cat that just both pee and piss in the house all the time, yeah.
Prince is pretty old.
Yeah. Timmy also used to have a dog. Yo, that dog used to shit inside so often.
Yeah.
Man. Good dog, though.
That seems like the life, man. Just to be like an old dog and just like, yeah, I'm pooping right here. I'm pissing right here.
And the life of a baby, dude. Both things we picked today are things that, like, yeah, for a good period of their life, just get to be like, yo, feed me and I shit where I want.
Dude, that's like literally the same as babies. How babies are a lot like old people, like people say. Like, they're just pee and poop whenever. They'll do it sitting down. Same thing with dogs. When they're a puppy, they don't know better, much like a baby. Then when they get old, they just can't hold it anymore. You know, I used to volunteer at an old folks home. I used to, like, do bingo there or something like that. And there was one Sunday where I got there kind of early, and I was walking around talking to people, and I sat on this couch right next to this old guy. And I noticed that he was sitting where I was sitting, but then he moved for some reason. I was thinking like, oh, he's moving over so I can go sit beside him. And I did. But no, he moved over because he pissed himself. And then the whole couch cushion was just soaked in pee. So I just sat in like a thing of pee. And I'm like, all right, well, I got to go home and change. And I live like 30 minutes away. So no bingo today. Thank Herbert right here. For
man, you didn't thug it out through the pee?
No, it was, I was like drenched in this old man's pee on my butt.
Never had a little pee on you before?
Not an old man's pee.
There's no difference in the urine. Like, that's the thing. People be like, oh, you clean like kid throw up. It's regular. It's normal throw up. It just came out of a smaller body.
I'd rather clean up kid throw up because it's probably less throw up, you know? They're smaller bodies.
They're eating worse shit, dude. Have you ever cleaned up? I've cleaned up hot Cheeto throw up. It looks like a person throwing up blood, and it's the worst thing you're ever smelling in your life.
Oh, that sounds so bad.
Tapioca pudding already looks like throw up. It looks like the same thing. I would just be cleaning up the same thing. That's the everything. Everything old people eat already looks like throw up.
Peppermints, though, it might balance out that smell.
Yeah, you know? And all those caramel candies.
Ooh, caramel candies. Yeah, that would probably make the throw up chunky.
Yeah, they have very chunky. I feel like old people have very chunky throw up.
Probably very chunky.
Also, as a person that works with kids, they throw up, especially preschoolers. They throw up and try to keep moving. Like, at least that old guy was like, I peed myself. I need to move a seat over. Like, he kind of knew something had happened.
Yeah, he was like, I don't need to tell anybody, and I'm going to also let this young man sit where I was sitting, but I need to move.
I've watched several pre-Kers throw up through a meal and then try to go back to eating. Like, they'll turn around and throw up a little bit and be like, yeah, back to eating. And I'm like, it's like a dog. It's literally like a dog. They're like, oh, man, yeah, I don't know why I did that. And I'm like, you did that because you're a fool. You got to stop eating or you're sick.
I think about that all the time when you said you were giving a speech to some kids and you messed up and they were like a boss.
Yeah. Shout out to Harry. Harry Remington, a person that probably will listen to this podcast when I post about it. Harry Remington beat me in a game of what are the odds when I was like, you guys can't say this anymore. And then they won. And he was like a boss.
Like a boss. What did that, I think I may have brought this up actually on the pod before, but this is so funny to me. When you were ordering like Chinese food and you were kind of stuttering over the menu item and she was like, uh-oh, loading.
Yeah, Christian buffering.
Oh, buffering.
A lady insulted me at a restaurant and she's lucky I didn't put in a bad review. This woman should be fired. You're not allowed to make fun of people in customer service.
Christian,
she's lucky
needs
I'm a
update.
Comic.
iOS update. Install later tonight.
You think she does that to every person that stutters? That's so mean.
I think that was just a one-off thing. I think she's been holding it. She's like, I'm going to get his ass one day. And
she was like,
happened to be you.
She was like, this guy's obviously stoned. I think some people, I've seen a few customer service people do that in my time. Like, waiters will be like, oh, this guy's stoned enough. I can act how I want.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to start putting in Yelp reviews. I'm at that age in my life. I got to start a Yelp account.
Yeah. Oh, you got to. Okay, but would you leave a Yelp review for a restaurant that you liked a lot? Would you leave a really good one or only ones that you didn't like?
I would leave one at every restaurant.
Every restaurant?
Because here's the thing. Yelp is based on, I think you get based on like how often you do it. So I would just do Yelp as often as I possibly could because in like, in 10 years when you're like 40, when you start caring, that's the thing. Everybody gets rude in restaurants around 40 and 50. And that's when my Yelp account, because I'm going to start it about now, will be powerful. I'll have 19 years putting in every restaurant I go to. Mm. So then when people start talking to me, I'm like, yo, I'm a verified Yelp reviewer. Talk to me right, all right? Yeah. Hey, yo, these tacos better be hitting or your Taco Bell is about to take a hit, bro.
Yeah, they're going to know who you are, too, when you walk in the door. You're almost going to be like a like how DHEC inspectors come in sometimes and they order food, or like SLED agents, maybe. They'll get a drink. Everybody's like on point, you know what I mean? They don't want to get like flagged, but they, when they see you walk in, they'll be like, yeah, we can't have a bad Yelp review. You know, the Yelp page for the Tokyo Grill in West Columbia for a while, when you open it, the cover photo was a picture of a roach and fried rice.
Yeah, dude. That's the thing. So that's gross. How powerful you can be.
Yeah.
Or like on Google, like especially because the more reviews you do, the higher the algorithm puts your reviews in for things.
Right.
Of like a lot of times if you click on top Google reviewers, it'll be like they have like 30 reviews. But if you review every place you go to for like 10 years, you do have power. You go in a restaurant, like that's how anything works with like hotels, because it'll be like, oh, I have this priority points. It's just a person that goes to the hotels all the time.
Yeah, that's true. If they have a lot of points for that hotel, and they've stayed there a lot, their review's probably going to be bumped up regardless. You know what I mean? If it's like a good or bad review, or if it gets a lot of upvotes, it's going to be like one of the ones people see, you know?
But as a verified Yelper, I got power anywhere. A restaurant, I can leave a review. Mm-hmm. Your game or your escape room, I can leave a review. So I better win.
Ooh,
better win. Or is one star?
One star. One star, couldn't get out. I'm still in here, and they won't help me out.
And you've only got 15 reviews on your website, and they're all your friends, and they're not powerful Yelpers. So I drop you. Now you're going down on Google Maps.
All right. You want to get into the first article?
Yeah.
All right. So the first article, we're going to go with the dog one first, okay? This one comes from, let's see, My Pet World? Yeah, and they're writing somebody named Kathy. Don't know much about this website. Hold on. Let me see if there's a about. No, there's not an about page. All right. Well, this comes from a website called news.lee.net. And the article was titled, My Pet World. When dogs won't go outside to pee, don't settle for them going in the house. All right. Dear Kathy, 2 weeks ago, I adopted a very sweet rescue basset hound mix. She was dumped after being a breeding dog. She's about 5 to 7 years old. She is terrified of everything, including the outdoors. She is 40 pounds and won't go outside voluntarily, so I have to carry her. The problem is I am 65 years old, and my back has been in pain from doing it for over a week now. So I have placed plastic over my carpeted bedroom and put a washable and disposable pee pads on top of the plastic. I have decided not to force her to go outside anymore since it makes her trust me less. Although she did her business a few times when I took her out, she just stood there most of the time. She's not aggressive, likes being petted, and wants to be by me. So that is good. I read on my best friend's animal rescue website that this is typical behavior for these dogs. So I hope to find a trainer who knows about these dogs and can help me housebreak her and make her less afraid of the outdoors. Do you know of anyone? Okay. Did you get that? You know what she's trying to ask?
Yeah. She's basically saying that her dog is
scared to go outside.
She doesn't know how to make her dog piss outside. Which here's the thing I think would work. It's the same way I think you break anything. You gotta be willing to stand out there. Because eventually that dog's gonna go to the bathroom outside.
Right.
And then you go in.
You gotta be out there with them. Yeah. To like make them feel like, oh, you're not alone out here, but you're going to be soon, but like for right now, I'll stay out here. It's kind of like when kids, kids won't do a lot. Like, kids won't sleep in their bed alone. And you know what I mean? When they're little, they want to sleep in their parents' bed. Or if they have a nightmare, they want to sleep with their parents. If that dog saw a squirrel when it was a puppy, maybe it got really scared of it and it doesn't want to see another squirrel, so it wants their owner out there. You know what I mean? Is that a thing?
No, I think it's just, I just think that the dog wants to do what it wants. That dog wants to be in charge. This is like what Caesar would get into. I'm getting into the Caesar part of this. All
right.
Where you got to be the alpha of the pack at some point. At some point, you got to let this dog know, I am in control. I am the adult here. I'm the human.
Right.
And so you got to stand outside. And when it looks at you like, I'm not doing anything, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
We go inside when I want to go inside, which is when you poop a pee.
Oh, so do you think the owner should poop or pee out there first to show the dog that's how it's done?
Nah, because then that's being like, I poop or pee first. You know what I mean? That's being like, you got to follow me. It's like, nah.
Oh, because then now they're going to just wait for you to poop.
This is where you poop or pee. I pee inside the house because I'm the adult. This is my domain. You poop and pee out here.
Do you think maybe they should have similar stuff in their bathroom that they have in the backyard so the dog think that's their bathroom? Like, for example, for Frankie, should I put Playboy magazines out in the backyard? Should I put tubs of lotion out there and a thankful vision board?
I guess, like, you were pretty close to this because you were letting your dog just pee inside a little bit and then opening the door. Maybe she could just do what you were doing.
Yeah.
Well, once she starts to pee, just throw her outside.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's the right thing to do, but that's just what we did, and that worked like a charm with Frankie. I don't know if that could work with every dog, but that is one piece of advice. But if the dog's just scared to go outside, I think I need to know more about what her backyard looks like, because I've never met a dog to be scared to go outside.
That's like a small breed thing. I didn't pay attention to the breed, but like I feel like those little.
It was a Basset Hound mix, but the picture I don't know if this is a picture of this dog, but it did look pretty small, like a small little.
Yeah,
baby.
Yeah. Like I feel like the tiny dogs, the Shih Tzus, a purse dog. If it's a dog that can fit in your front seat comfortably, it's having a good time. Those dogs always like I want to do what I want, and I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
You don't. You're like a normal dog. I don't believe that there's a difference in training by breed. Controversial.
Ooh, interesting.
Controversial. All dogs can probably be trained mostly the same.
Yeah.
There's a dog expert that's going to be pissed about this. I did not go to college for dogs. We're going back to... So people understand, I went to college for sports. That's my expertise.
And that's just the one thing you know, sports.
That's the one thing I know, which is crazy because I work in youth industry, so...
Yeah. All right. I mean, no, I think I agree with you there for the most part. I'm sure maybe some dogs that are like pure breed, like... I don't know, like a greyhound. You know what I mean? They're going to be a little different to train, I feel like, than a purebred beagle. But I could be wrong. That's kind of what I think. But I also get what you mean, though, to where, like, you could train every type of purebred or mixed dog, like, the same way and probably get the same results, like, you know, 9 out of 10.
I feel like everybody's doing a clicker and a treat. At the end of the day, all these trainers are like, I'm doing this different thing, and then it's just a clicker and a treat.
Yeah.
And I'm like... The main thing is the clicking and the treat. You can try it a ton of different ways, but it's like it's the clicking and the treat that gets you to the final goal at the end of the day.
Yeah. So that is like a sure shot, right?
Yeah.
If she wants to get the dog to go outside, she first gets the dog outside and then
clicks it, and then
gives him a treat.
Actually, no, you would have to wait for it to pee. So you still have to be patient, wait for it to pee, click, treat.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, then it thinks to pee whenever you click. That's not what you want to do. You want to give it a treat whenever it peed outside, no click. The click is so that you can teach it, like, it's recognizing that thing. I think that you don't want it to do it with pee because then it would think that whenever it peed, it would get a treat. You would need to make sure it only got a treat outside when it peed.
What's another way for it to for them to have the dog not be afraid to go outside? Maybe if the dog stays inside, the woman can go outside and then come back in with, like, a whole tray of hot dogs and be like, that's they're giving out free hot dogs out there. That's kind of crazy in the backyard. You should go out there, buddy.
That's kind of the reverse of like what you do to get Frankie inside when you have to be like, there's somebody here, which is crazy that like in a world where your dog understands English, Frankie's like, oh, okay, I got to stop playing. There's a guest here. Your dog's like very like professional. She's like, a guest is coming over. Let me come inside.
I think she just gets excited that other people are coming because they never do. People don't come here. This ain't where love is. But no, I, what I'll also do is like if she won't come inside. Yeah, I have literally the exact opposite problem as this person does, but if she does not want to come inside when it's like late and it's like raining and for some reason she's just out there barking and running around, I'll like get her harness and like shake it because it has like stuff on it and it makes noise, and she thinks like, oh, we're about to go on a walk, you know what I mean? And then when she gets in, I'm like, you know, I was lying to you, right?
And that's why she doesn't want to come inside. She's afraid that you're
lying.
No,
now she knows the trick. She knows it. So now I'll shake it, and she'll come right by the window, just look at me. Then I open the door, and she won't even come in. It's like, I really have to, like, act it up each time. Be like, all right, let's go to the park. Sometimes I'll throw my shoes on the ground so she thinks I'm about to put my shoes on. I'm about to go to the car and take her to the park. Sometimes I've been grabbing the keys recently, too. Be like, all right, let's jingle these keys.
You're going to have to fully start starting your car up.
I think so. That's the next step. I might have to start going to the park and then rolling the windows down and say, like, oh, you're not coming?
Yeah, there is a version of this where you're going to have to back up your car and start talking to her. Even then, you're going to have to keep going further and further.
She's not a disciplined dog at all. She will not come inside. But now with Margaret, I think having Margaret around helps because, for one, Margaret wears her out in the backyard. But also, Margaret will come inside whenever. If you tell her to come inside, she'll come inside. So I've been doing that. And then when Frankie stays out there, I'll be like, you're not coming to the park with us? The park? You can park? And then she'll come in.
That's also the thing of, like, my dog's a street dog, so she always wants to be inside.
That's true.
She's like, yo, this used to be my... whenever she's like gotten out or gotten somewhere, when I get to her or when she sees me, she's like, it's time to go back inside. Mm. She's like, I've had my fun. I know what this life is like. Like, Frankie's like, oh my God, it's so great. Margaret's like, no. Have you ever eaten grass? Like,
Frankie was at the top room at the Moussolo's, wherever that Drake meme is. She was. This is in the Moose and Nose room, you know. If you know, you know.
Where'd you get her from? A puppy mill? Nah.
A puppy mill? Is that a thing?
Yeah, where people make like tons of puppies. It's like a, it's a, oh, it's a very bad thing. Amish are known to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I got her from Pets Inc. in West Columbia. Shout out Pets Inc. $20 $20 for Frankie.
So is that like Monsters Inc. but for dogs? So they scare the dogs to get.
Yeah, they all have these doors and stuff. Nah, Pets Inc. is cool. It is a good name, though. Pets Inc., Monsters Inc. I wonder if they are trying to play off that. There's probably dogs there with one eye. Like Mike Wazowski.
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 Played by the great Billy Crystal.
All right, so our main advice to this woman is to either do the clicker and treat thing, because that's a sure shot. You're going to get what you need done with that. Or just make outside less scary, I guess.
No, mine is to thug it out and stand outside so that dog poops and pees outside.
Stand outside with them. Yeah.
And then, if it doesn't, this is what you got to do. You got to get one of those. They're not expensive. They're like less than $100. Get one of those outside dog cages, and I would just put it out there. And I'd be like, hey, you're going to sit out here. And then slowly it will learn.
Outside dog cages? Like a pen almost?
Yeah, you can like take it. They make portable pens.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And put it in that little pen. Sit out there in your lawn chair. Have a drink. Yeah. That's the thing. Enjoy it. You're the human. Don't let the dog be in control.
Right. And she's also saying she has to carry this dog and is like hurting her back and stuff, which I don't know. It's a puppy though. Like, how bad can it hurt your back right now? But you definitely need to stop doing it though if it does hurt your back.
Well, you know they got those big ears.
Old people?
Basset hounds.
Are you saying she has big ears? She can hear me right now? She can hear me? All right. Let's see what Kathy has to say to Susan. Oh, it's a long-ass answer, so I'm not reading all of this. I'll read, like, one sentence. She says, Dear Susan, from what I know of best friends, I would be surprised to see them offer breed-specific advice. Kind of like you were saying, Christian. They have always treated every animal as an individual, not lumping specific behaviors with a specific breed. So, I know they would agree with what is happening to this dog has nothing to do with her breed and everything to do with her being a breeding dog. Oh, interesting. Let's look at her life experiences up until this point. As a breeding dog, she likely lived in an outdoor kennel and could not access a yard when she needed to relieve herself. So, she learned to relieve herself where she lived, in a kennel. Which may be why she is more comfortable peeing under your roof than under the open sky. She may fear her new freedom of movement since she's likely lived in a kennel full-time. This can make her fearful or anxious about going outside. She was also probably never taken for a walk on a leash, so she only knows how to freeze when you put one on her. As a breeding dog, she likely had limited contact with people as well. Regardless of the reason, you don't have to settle for her peeing inside your house. Dogs can learn at any age, so finding a trainer is a great idea. I don't know individual trainers in your area, but you can go online to Association for Professional Dog Trainers, which is APTD.org, and click on locate a trainer from there, blah, 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 blah. Always interview trainers to make sure that you and your dog are comfortable with them. They are certified and that they only use positive reinforcements. They can explain their training methods and they can provide references from other people they have helped. A trainer will outline a plan, likely beginning with her learning to walk on a leash and then moving on to house training. Most of all, give her more time to adjust. If you are consistent and compassionate with her training, I am confident that she will learn to walk outside and relieve herself. Okay, so it's not too far away what you were saying. She just told her, like, you need to get a trainer.
Yeah, and listen, this is what most people don't tell you. Dog trainers are mean people. Like, you think that dog trainer is going to be like, oh, the dog trainer is going to be like, take your ass outside and take a pit. Like, they're serious. They mean business.
Like, that Caesar guy's probably the nicest one.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not going to hit your dog, but they're going to, like, your dog is not going to be politely taught to how to pee outside. Like, right. Your dog's going to be treated like a dog and told, hey, you pee out here.
Yeah.
You pee out here.
Okay. I'm going to send you the second article because.
Just give me your phone.
Okay. Yeah. I see.
We're so close. Phil's making it seem like we're in different states right now on Zoom. He's less than two feet from me.
Here we go. Read the website and then read the title and then read the question.
Help me, Heidi. That's what it is. My 2-year old okay. won't stop playing with her poop. Whattoexpect.com. My daughter is almost 2 and has been playing with her poop, which she takes out of her diaper, wipes her hands onto her sheets, her clothes, and her crib. I've read that this is a sign of being curious about her body functions and potty training readiness. But we've tried the potty and she's only used it once. My mom intuition says that she isn't ready, but I can't have her playing with her poop. Help!
So how to get my baby to stop playing with her poop? Well, she's 2 years old?
Yes.
I was I just put her outside. Like, that's... Like, hey, she may not be afraid of outside like that dog. What's she going to do, fertilize your grass?
They're probably worried about the pink eye. They're more worried about the diseases from playing with the poop.
I guess that is a big thing, yeah. Yeah,
that's... But that's the thing. I've had a baby touch. Like, I've changed diapers and a baby will get their hand on poop. You just quickly wipe it. I feel like the playing with it is coming from the baby having time to... Like, that's the thing. That means you didn't have eyes on the kid. For a kid to wipe poop... on a wall, like, for you to come in and see that means that, like, that kid was out of your sight. Now, I'm not saying be a helicopter parent, but if you have a 2-year-old, you should be close enough at all times.
Right.
That, like, I would hear a little rustle and I'd be like,
Even when I see, like, my niece at my parents' house and, like, both my parents are present and my brother and sister are there, they're still pretty close to their 2-year-old, like, you know what I mean? Like, in reaching distance for most of the time. I feel like that's kind of how you should... Well, maybe not reaching distance, but at least in the same room as them just to make sure... Like, I feel like 2 is still... like a, maybe, like, 4 or 5 giving them a little independence, you know? Letting them go to the movies by themselves, you know? Letting them, let them take the car out for a drive.
I'm big for your kids having independence and trying things. But it's, like, also, as a person that works with kids all the time, you just get an ear. And you always know the distance that, like, you can take a fall or something like that. But, like, also I feel like there are areas that are more dangerous where, like, if a kid is going in a bathroom or wherever they're wiping their hands on the wall, it's, like, they could be in, like, are they in the living room with you? You should have seen it. If they're in the bathroom, why aren't they in the bathroom alone? Like, they can get their head in the toilet and, like, you know what I mean? There's so much dangerous stuff in the bathroom, pills and all those things. It's, like, you should have an eye on them in there. Are they wiping it in the kitchen? You should definitely have an eye on them in there. There's knives in there.
And just to be clear, the question asker does not like the poop spread everywhere.
No, the question asker does not like the poop spread everywhere. She's okay. Like, Heidi, help me.
Heidi, help me. There's poop everywhere, Heidi.
Heidi, I come in my house. I leave my 2-year-old at the house. Yeah. I go to work my 9-to-5. I come back. There's freaking poop everywhere. And I'm like, stop playing with it.
I was like, I let you alone for 8 hours and you did this.
It's like I gave you toys. There's toys everywhere, but all my baby wants to do is play with the poop. She doesn't eat the food I leave out.
I leave her out sushi, the sushi knife, of course, the bamboo stick, everything. She doesn't even touch sushi. She just poops everywhere.
And it's the crazy. Dogs use the doggy door to go outside and poop. She refuses to go out there. It's like, I got to play with my poop in the house.
I left the door open when I left the house. I left the door, both doors unlocked with my baby in the house so she can go and leave freely. I left the riding lawnmower running. She could have got on that, took it for a spin. The Ninja Blender, I just already turned it on for her.
Yeah.
And she's pooped in it.
I gotten all the types of toilet paper you could want. Still won't use it.
No, you won't even touch the toilet paper.
I would say, what kind of toilet paper are you using? Maybe your baby's playing with your poop and digging it out because your toilet paper is bad.
Yeah, she could have single ply.
If you're using single ply on your baby, you should go to jail. Do not put a bidet in a baby. Your bidet shoots.
No, I would never. Okay.
Phil's bidet literally shoots across the room. That's how powerful it is. That would kill a baby.
I think I'll put the knob on backwards because now right when you turn it on, it already feels like the highest setting. I think it was a warm up to it. I think I'll put it on backwards. Honestly, a bidet could help, you know, because then she's not going to want to, I don't know, actually. She's probably still going to play with the poop and then afterwards be like, let's do the bidet now, you know.
What age? This is a good question.
What age should you let a baby use a bidet?
I know some European people. Are you getting trained as a baby with a bidet? Like, that's the thing. Is it like a bath shower thing? Because you know as a baby, like at first you get baths.
Yeah.
And then at some point someone's got to teach you how to take a shower. Which is crazy. The shower concept should be easier than the bath. It's like you just stand up.
Yeah.
Hey, you can now not drown.
Yeah. The drain's going to be open for this one. That is is so true. I don't think my parents ever trained me to take a shower with it. Like, you got it. Like, I feel like I was like, yeah, just turn it on and stay there.
Oh, no, I got trained to take a shower. We had a conversation about this at camp where, like, some people,
you said,
like,
you almost drowned in a shower, you said?
No. We're like, it's just like, my mom had my uncle teach me, obviously, because, like, she wanted a male. But it's like they normally stand in there in their swim trunks and they go, like, this is how you take a shower. Someone, like, teaches you, like, this is the difference in the shower and a bath. There's someone taught you. There's no way you just stood up. Maybe like a brother.
No, I think there was like, one time I was at Myrtle Beach and they had those outdoor showers there.
That's probably a good way to teach as well.
Yeah. And I met this guy on the beach that was like, do you want to take a shower together? And I was like, I have been meaning to learn how to do this. And I'm sandy. I'm a really sandy boy. Nah. You know what? Adrian, edit that out and put that in from the very beginning of the episode. Let's do a cold open with that bit.
Oh, wait, Adrian can edit stuff out. Adrian, edit out everything I said that is factually incorrect.
Oh, well, then we might as well just start from scratch. No, you said there was more bees than businesses.
Yeah. Yeah, I said a decent amount of facts. The stuff, there's some stuff that he will look up later and it'll be
honestly,
way
dude, that
incorrect.
Should be a fun fact you bring out on like a first date. Should she ask you about yourself? You'd be like, here's some stuff about myself, but if you just want to know some fun facts, I got some pretty cool fun facts. Did you know there's more bees than businesses globally?
And she would probably be like, yeah, that makes sense. That's the thing that if you sit and think about it for a second, it makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. But for some reason, I want to be like, there's tons of businesses, though. There's a lot of businesses.
So maybe. Like, it's the same thing with ants. Like, in one colony of ants, that's like the city in New York.
Here's what's crazy. It's like, what if that was like true mathematically, what you just said? And you're like two for two on these animal population facts that you're just throwing at your ass. No, I can see that though. The amount of ants in the world have to be at least the population of New York City.
No, there's way more ants than there are people in New York City.
What about uncles?
Because there's more rats. Like this is the thing.
Oh,
there's gonna eventually be more rats than people in New York. And think about how like
that's crazy. Are there already more rats than?
No. I watched the Vice video.
I think they're just like one below right now. They just need one more, I heard.
I think the prediction was like 2030. We may be in it. We may be in it, but it's close.
20 rats, 30 people. I think it was way more people than that.
No, they did a count. Like they did like a rough count. And then like they put a prediction on the year based on the like possibility of the rat population. Because basically New York has so much sewers and stuff like that. Like it's made to be a city for rats. There's so much shut down subway tunnels, open subway tunnels. There's so many places for rats to
live. It is really like a city like exclusively for rats.
Oh, yeah. One day, I believe, like hundreds of thousands of years from now, like New York will be like Rome and be empty and be like a city of rats. Or like there's the Monkey Island in South Carolina. You know about Monkey Island? You got to know about that.
Yeah, that's the one. Like, is that near Edisto or Folly? I think it's Edisto.
Edisto.
Yeah.
There's also a Snake Island.
Yeah, I could see that.
There's like a island of poisonous snakes. They do not know how it got. There's a couple of theories on how they all got there.
Like a research facility or something like that, and they got out.
Some people believe that like the villagers like eventually like sent a raft with multiple. There's a whole bunch of theories on how all the snakes got out.
So wait, what's up with Monkey Island? Is that a research facility thing, right? That's what I thought it was.
No, they just like put all the monkey. Here's the thing that happens in South Carolina way too much. Apparently, they do a lot of disease testing with monkeys here.
Really?
Yeah, and then they're always like, we don't know what to do with them. We gave them all these diseases, and now we don't know what to do with them. And so at one point, they were like, let's put them all on an island.
Do you remember when all those monkeys escaped in that South Carolina research facility? Even like SNL had a joke about it. Do you think they really got out, or do you think that was their way of being like, let's just get rid of these monkeys with diseases?
That would be a good movie where like someone is trying to get, because that's got to be the cheaper way, because you can't just kill them. Like, there's probably laws around just you straight up killing them. Yeah. But you know if they get released that the police are going to shoot them. Like, the second they got out of that truck, like, it was open. They say that's the whole thing about, like,
was
when
it
exotic
open fire
animals
on them?
Get out. Yeah, like, when exotic animals get out, this is, like, a thing that has happened in other places. There's a really good news article about this, about, like, there was this guy, I cannot remember where this was, but he let out a ton of, like, dangerous cats.
Yeah.
I believe this was in Ohio. And he let out like a ton of like big cats. This guy was going on to his farm and his horses were running in a circle, and then he saw a tiger like just on his farmland.
And he shot it?
No. Like eventually they let the police and all these hunters have open range on it, but like that's basically what they have to do. When people let go of these exotic animals and they get out, like at some point the police are just like, hey, if you're a hunter, Anybody that sees this thing, you're shooting it. We do not know how to take it in. We do not know how to tranquilize it. This is way more dangerous than anything else.
Just right. Shoot it. Yeah. That's probably the. Yeah.
I mean, that's why they shot Harambe. They could have tranquilized the monkey, but like that would have possibly killed the baby. So you shoot the gorilla.
Man. What was this question about? The baby rubbing poop on the walls. We got baby way off topic. Poop on the walls. Baby rubbing poop on the walls.
It wouldn't never gonna be asked to guest host's podcast.
You know what? We were
welcome to the first and last episode ever.
When we were talking about like Monkey Island and stuff, in my head I was like, wouldn't it be so funny if we just kept on riffing and then we just closed the laptop? We hit the 2-hour mark. We didn't even finish the second article, nor do a third segment. And for this article, we still haven't really said the website. You just say, Heidi, help me. I know
I did say the website afterwards. I made sure to plug it.
Oh, it is. It's called What to Expect.
You are. We'll read the answer now.
Okay, we're going to read the answer.
Phil's got it. He'll do it in black scent.
Yeah, I'll be doing black scent, but specifically the kid from Joe's college road trip who acts like young Sheldon. Holy shit, the answer is so long. The answer is like a whole webpage. I wonder if they see articles like this a lot. I know they skip around sometimes. Okay, I'm going to try to sum this up the best I could. It sounds like you have a poop Picasso on your hands, or really on her hands. That's pretty good. But since you're probably not eager to start collecting her work or displaying it, let's talk about how we can convince her to be less prolific, or at least to switch mediums. All right, kind of extended that analogy too much. Let's see. Interest in potty products like both pee and poop is often a sign of interest in potty training and some degree of readiness. Okay, so she's seen as like, hey, mom, I'm ready to not do this anymore. And then for sure she is readier now than she was as a baby. Back then, she may have complained about sitting in a dirty diaper, but the contents weren't the least interesting otherwise. She likes that she gets her mom's attention when she plays with the poop. Okay, that makes sense. Pushing the potty probably won't prove helpful, and it could escalate her antics or lead to painful and unproductive withholding. However, it does make sense to start making the connection between poop and the potty. The poop belongs in the potty. Have her come with you to help flush the remnants of the poop. Even if it's just a little bit of residue, and then she spells do, D-O-O. She's very punny in this.
Yeah, that's how parent websites work. I feel like mommy websites are all very pun and cute. Like, yeah. You can't just be like, hey, you're a bad mom, you know? You gotta be like, oh my God.
Oh my God, toilet time.
So crazy. It's all that. It's like, life is so crazy. And it's like, nah, you kind of gotta get your shit together, lady. What do you mean your baby's rubbing poop on the wall?
To live and diarrhea. We should do this. We should be like, we should give mom advice. So, because we could write these pretty easily.
I mean, these are being written by AI. If you think,
if you think at this point
these are being written by anything else by AI, you're crazy.
No, she's writing these bars herself, I could tell. Having her help clean up the mess that she has made can create a teachable moment, but it can also create a risk of infection if she mouths her hand before they can be carefully washed by you. Poop carries germs that can make her sick if ingested, even if it's her own poop.
What? You think people didn't know that?
Yeah, I was about to say, it's like, she's like, hey, don't eat the poop. What she said, make sure your baby doesn't eat the poop.
Yeah, you're calling this lady the stupidest person ever.
Yeah, she's literally saying, like, it can make her sick if she eats the poop. Jesus Christ. Let's see. Try, of course, to catch her and preempt with a diaper change before she has dug in. Okay, that's not bad advice. This habit will get old, especially if you are unrelentingly boring in your reaction and your follow-through. In the meantime, however, you could try a few other tricks if you haven't already. 1. Make the diaper area as inaccessible as possible. Put her footed one-piece PJs that are tough to tug off or overalls on backwards, and duct tape her diaper so it's harder to get into. A one-piece onesie without snaps or zippers can also help keep her and her poop contained. If you use cloth diapers, avoid easily ripped off Velcro wraps. All right, that's actually pretty solid advice, just to be like, you know, put something on her to where, like, she can't get the poop out of her diaper.
But that's just, like, also, it feels like the easiest thing is just to be watching your kids so you know when they poop. Strapping your kid up so that, like, because then it's like, how long is your kid sitting in the poop? regardless, how long is the poop in the diaper? You know what I mean? How long are you okay with there being poop in this kid's diaper? Because they're going to keep it moving. Because now you got to unwrap duct tape to get to the poop.
Yep. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And what, you're going to notice because they're just yanking at their, they're yanking at their overalls trying to rip them off. And you're like, ooh, there must be poop in their diaper.
Oh, here's the thing. Something else to explore, those other mediums. Let her express herself with finger paint, for example. What if she does finger paint, though, and she's like, hey, you have any brown finger paint? I don't like this blue and red shit. You got, do you have a brown, something more realistic, you know?
Only natural colors.
No brown paint, no yellow paint.
I guess you could just let her play with peanut butter. If you want a happy medium Nutella. For her to fill with. Yeah.
Nutella, that would be it, right? Because Nutella has like a texture of
peanut butter. No, but then she would think she could eat the poop. This is exactly what you should not do, because then she would think that you can eat the poop.
That's true. And if you eat poop, you can get sick. I'm learning a lot from this article. Yeah, I guess Nutella isn't the best. Okay, so that was the second article. Okay, so what do we say for the third segment? We're gonna
pitch the movie Potty Training Day, aka a ripoff of Training Day.
This is
a
movie pitch.
Look up what you need for a movie pitch, so we can just get those things, and that way we'll know when we're done.
Yeah, 100%.
Because if not, me and Phil are gonna try to write a whole movie right now. We'll zone out.
What you need for movie pitch. Okay, a successful movie pitch requires a compelling log line. What's a log line? Like a plot?
What's the difference in a log line and a tagline?
Okay,
I know your tagline is like the short thing that you put on the poster that draws people in.
A log line is a 1 to 2 sentence summary of a film. Okay, so let's go ahead and do the summary, then we'll do a tagline. Okay. So log line. So this is a movie called Training Day.
Can you look up Training Day's original Potty Training Day? Training Day
potty
already
training
exists.
Day. Right.
So look up the log line of Training Day. This will give us a good.
On his first day on the job as a Los Angeles narcotics officer, a rookie cop goes on a 24-hour training course with a rogue detective who isn't what he appears to be. Damn, that's a really good log line.
Yeah.
Okay, so ours would be on the first day of
stepfatherhood.
The dog is the stepfather?
No, there would be a.
Oh, so this is not going to be with a dog. This is going to be with a baby.
No, I was going to say a stepfather doing both.
Oh, both. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So a classic comedy. I'm thinking classic Steve Martin style comedy. A guy's long-term girlfriend, she's like, hey, oh my God, this crazy thing happened. Is there any way you can watch my baby and my dog for 2 days?
And the dog's a puppy.
And yeah, and they both need to be potty trained. They're both at the point of potty training. He tries to potty train them both over the same weekend.
Potty training day. That's good.
Okay.
Okay. Is he married to this person, or is they're just dating?
They've been dating a while, but he hasn't met. Well, this baby is fresh. She's 2 years in. We're not getting into the grittiness of the relationship.
Okay, but
that's part of the comedy that people will rip apart later on. That's what the critics will talk about.
So maybe the log line would be like, upon his girlfriend's request, a inexperienced father, an inexperienced
you're gonna want a guy that doesn't like the baby. So it's got to
bachelor.
Be like an uptight.
Upon his girlfriend's request, a young bachelor in New York City fills his weekend with potty training not only a pup, but...
Too many words.
A baby boy. But they're both young, and they are not potty trained. And his girlfriend could come into town any minute. And he can't have the house smelling like poop. So go ahead, buckle in for this good old movie. It's called Potty Training Day. That's the whole log line. It's like a whole paragraph.
I think I got one.
Okay. I think a good intro, though, is upon his girlfriend's request, a blank, and then say what he's about
to
do.
I would think it would be more like, bachelor freshly turned father is forced to step into the role. We got to play on the stepfather thing.
Oh, right.
Potty training. Not only, so I want to use two R words, not only a rambunctious baby, but a rowdy pup as well.
Okay, a rambunctious baby and a rowdy Rottweiler. You can even do that.
A rowdy Rottweiler, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a pup, so it doesn't really matter.
Let's make every word short with an R.
All right, so we got a log line. What's next?
Okay, wait, say the log line one more time just so we can.
Okay.
Yeah.
a bachelor fresh in the fatherhood is forced to step into shit hits the fan. Shit hits the fan when this bachelor is forced into fatherhood over a 3-day weekend of potty training not only a rambunctious baby but a rowdy pup as well.
Okay. Okay. I'm not mad at that. That's pretty good.
That's close enough. That is close enough for a first workshop of a long form movie. Yeah.
But the tagline is easy because you already have one in there, but if it's a pun off shit, it could be like, shit's about to get real. Or no, oh, wait. Like, what would be on the marquee, you know, the picture of the movie? It would be him, like, covered in, like, poop, right? And the baby's crawling in the background. The puppy's, like, running out the doggy door, and it says, we're shit out of luck.
And you know we're releasing this on Father's Day weekend.
Oh, 100% on Father's Day weekend.
And you know who the father is? Will Ferrell. Boom. We just made a $3 million movie.
Potty Training Day. Oh, with Will Ferrell. That's it. That's it right there.
All right. What's Father's the next Day thing we weekend? Need? We got our lead actor. We got our log line.
What kind of dog are we going to have?
We got a poster.
Because it has to be a dog that is cute, but also a dog that hasn't been in all these other cute dog movies. It can't be a golden lab. You know what I mean? And it can't be like a... Who was Beethoven? What was he like?
You're gonna want a dog that has a tiny puphood. You want to want a tiny puppy, fat baby. Baby's gonna be mostly CGI anyway.
Yeah, the baby's gonna be CGI. The puppy we can get around with not getting.
Wait,
too
are
CGI
we movie. Animating this or are we doing this live action?
No, we have to have things. Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell's gonna bring the money in.
But Will Ferrell does the Lego movie. He does animated just as well. The money's gonna come in regardless. And the hard part is with live action.
Oh, wait.
With live action, it's less you can do with the baby and the dog.
That is true. And if we do it animated, that's going to appeal to kids more so people can see it as a movie to be like, oh, my kid's not potty trained. Maybe if I take it to go see this movie, it will become potty trained. Like, it could be like kind of like a tutorial almost.
Yeah, you're thinking all of the parents are as dumb as the lady in that internet thing. Where you have to be like, yeah, and don't let your baby eat poop. Okay, what else do we need? What are the other...
Okay, but think about it, though, because, okay, if we make it animated, we can appeal to kids, and it can be rated PG, right?
But then you can't use your log line of when shit hits the fan. Then you lose your tagline and your poster. I think you can make it for kids, but then you have to go to crap. And then even then, that's close.
I think poop is the word that we can use. Poop is the word that we can use. A tagline with the word poop.
But you want to use do. Do-do. Then we would need to get closer to like the puns that the lady was doing.
Daddy duty doo doo. Daddy doo doo. Is that something? Daddy duty? Try to do something with
doo
doo.
Who are you trying to make the tagline for? You think children are reading the You think children read taglines for posters for children?
And then they think about it, they're like, is that a bar though? They do Rap Genius annotations on it.
The posters for the parents.
Okay, I think in that case, we should go back to live action. I know we could do. We don't even think about the money at this point. We're billionaires. If we're making a movie about called Potty Training Day, we have to be pretty well off to like.
Oh no! This is like a first movie.
This is a first movie.
Yeah, this is an easy. You think that like this is dumb? This is a movie that could easily be made.
Yeah,
Daddy Daycare exists. You gotta think for a second, Phil. There is a movie that exists, two of them. There's Daddy Daycare and Daddy Day Camp. They made a second movie because the first one was so successful. And the whole plot of that movie is, oh my God, this dad is forced to have his kid. Now he's just accidentally running a daycare. So for us to be like potty training a kid over, like this movie probably exists. The movie I'm pitching to you probably already exists as an 80s movie.
Because
Three Men and a Baby is just three men taking care of a baby. Also, the same movie that Hallmark remade as a Christmas movie, where three men just end up taking care of a baby over a weekend.
I do like the idea of it being live action. I do like that because if we get Will Ferrell on it, we could be a little dirty with it. We could do shit hits the fan. We could do shit out of luck.
But then it's less props with the baby. It's a lot of Will Ferrell having to do all the talking. You got to remember the baby and the dog. Unless you're doing one where the baby and the dog can talk, but not to Will Ferrell. Or are we letting the baby and the dog
talk?
But
if we got money to get Will Ferrell, we probably have money in this scenario.
You do not know how movies work. Are we living in a world where we have $10 billion? Because most of those movies are crap. You can probably get one of the actors, but then you're probably not going to be able... You're not going to be able to do everything. There's nobody who gets to do everything they want in a movie. That person does not exist. So it's like, yeah, you can probably get the actor, but then you're probably not going to be able to do that much CGI. But then if you do a lot of CGI, then you're probably not going to get multiple locations. So it's like, what is important to you?
Okay, I think CGI is important then, because I want a live action movie. But who is an actor we can get that is not as costly as Will Ferrell, but that would still be good?
So you want to spend all the money on CGI? All right, who are we making this? Who are we pitching this to? Give me the studio we're pitching this to, and then I can really lock.
Oh, Universal.
I was hoping you were gonna say a streaming service. Okay.
Oh no, no, I like that. Let's see.
Yeah, I was like, Hulu. Then you have Hulu. To use a big actor,
because Hulu uses like comics that aren't that big yet, and they give them like a show, and then they get big off of that. Oh. So like, what's like a Hulu original movie we could do with like a maybe like a small comic?
No, I want somebody semi big, so it works, because we're gonna want to get a sequel. Honestly, we should use our boy Kevin James. Shout out Kevin James. Shout out the Dual community.
We can get Kevin James.
So we got Kevin James.
He already texted me back. Yeah, he's in.
Now we can honestly... Kevin James, you can honestly probably afford pretty good CGI.
Okay. So we're doing what we want to do. We have the tagline. We have the
log
line.
Is the baby
line.
Talking? This is the important part. Can the baby and the dog talk? Or is it a physical comedy movie?
Physical like, comedy. If it's with Kevin James, it has to be physical. We don't need a talking.
So the baby and the dog are moving a lot with CGI. They can't talk.
Mm-hmm. But at the very end, the baby does say one thing, and that's his first words.
And it's got to be dada. It's got to be dada. It's got to be.
Dada or doo-doo?
It's, you don't want to do... Poopun does not get you a sequel. Dada gets you... Get you a potty
a
training
franchise.
Day too, where like now it's like both of them are
double
potty
deuce.
Training. Like they got twins.
Yeah.
See, the second movie would be twin girls. Now him and the son and the dog are having to potty train the twins while the wife is gone.
And then at that point, if we have enough money from the studio, then at that point the dog can start talking. Like the dog learned how to talk, and that could be a small joke in the sequel to be like, oh yeah, I taught him how to go to the bathroom outside, but I also taught him how to talk. And that could be a very small joke they just brush over. And then end of the first movie, the baby does say dad. That's his first words, which is crazy because it's
mom comes home from the airport, picks up the baby. We cut the black. Baby looks over the shoulder at Kevin James, soft little wig, and then looks at her and goes, dad? So
that's
great, because then it's like the baby and him have been going back and forth at it the whole time, right? Kevin's like mad at the baby. Like the whole movie, Kevin's just like pissed, and this baby's like pooping, wiping stuff on the wall.
Yeah,
the dog only poops and pees inside. It's like he gets confused. So like there's got to be a scene where like he puts the baby outside and then he puts the dog on the baby toilet. That's like it's
that's
the
a
big
good
laugh
scene.
That's a
good scene.
Huge
he puts
laugh.
The shock collar on the baby and then he feeds the dog chocolate.
He has them both on the leash at the park.
Yeah,
and he's like, shut up. He's constantly, anytime he's in public, listen, Kevin James may be the perfect person for this movie.
I like mixing up the dog and the baby stuff a lot.
I just had one. He gets out of the car and like the dog's in the baby born and the baby's on the ground on the dog leash. And that's the one where he's like, what are you looking at me for? He goes, oh.
Oh, he's pushing a stroller in a park, and then some people come and say, oh, can I see your baby? Like, yeah, they pull it open, and it's like the little nasty basset hound or whatever.
All right, we need the girlfriend, and we need the person he's obviously going to be calling.
Oh,
for
but
advice.
I was going to say the last words in the movie when the baby says dada, I think it'd be a cool scene if the girlfriend comes in the house, right, after the long weekend, and there's poop on the walls, and then you see Kevin James cleaning it up. He doesn't even acknowledge her, and then she's like, oh, my God. Is that doo-doo? And that's when the baby comes out of the room and says, it's not doo-doo, that's dada. It's like it's a full sentence. It's his first words ever, and it's a full sentence. And it already understands wordplay a little bit. I'd need to shoehorn my doo-doo dada joke in here. Okay, who's the girlfriend?
Okay, I'll take your doo-doo dada joke to close. We'll test it out with the audience.
Okay,
I'm
fine
with
leaving
that up.
This is just a pitch.
Yeah, this is just the pitch, yeah. And I like that in the pitch. I like that in the pitch. It's cute, it's adorable to end on. This is important. Kevin James always dates a woman way out of his league.
Mia Khalifa.
I'm trying to think who's already under the Hulu flag. I was going to say Sofia Vergara. This is easy money.
And
she's
going to
do good.
She would
do
it.
Yeah. She only needs to be there for like 4 days. We're already going to, whatever city she lives in is a city we'll shoot in. Yeah. We may just shoot at her house. We'll be like, hey.
Sofia Vergara was Ray Romano's girlfriend in that other Kevin James movie, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't she?
Yeah. We'll just put Sofia Vergara in there. We'll make the set look like your house. That way, every day you shoot, we'll just come to you.
Yeah. That's good. So what else were we thinking? And then the type of dog. We still haven't landed on that.
I don't think that you think that this matters as a dog person, so you can pick that. I'm more Here's thinking about the funny friend. I'm thinking the person that he's calling on the phone constantly throughout the weekend to help him. it's either got to be his mom or a friend he has with the baby. That's like, I think it should be probably, it's probably going to be another female character, probably a comic, Melissa McCarthy. He should be calling his sister.
That's good, Melissa McCarthy. He should be calling
his sister. She has multiple kids.
Yeah. But then she has to have, he has to have like a friend, like a goofy actor that could play a veterinarian, right? That he calls, be like, hey man, this dog's like pooping everywhere. I don't know what to do. And on the other line, it cuts to this person.
He has a comic friend that works in animal control.
That's what it is.
Because he thinks that would be helpful, but that's like, you're like, what? Why would you? I guess. You know, like, it's like he has no other friends that knows anything about animals. Well,
then we can make this a Netflix movie, and then for the animal control person, it could be Joel McHale. Because he has a show on Netflix called Animal Control. It could be a crossover.
Yep. And Sofia Vergara is going to come out for Netflix.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And Kevin James, he already works there. They're doing stuff.
He's an accountant there, yeah.
Melissa McCarthy, now we've spent a lot on, we got to drop one of these actors. Joel McHale is cheap enough, but we're not going to be able to probably get Melissa and Sofia Vergara. We're going to have to change Melissa McCarthy.
I think we're going to have to change Melissa. Yeah, she's probably expensive. But she goes back to Gilmore Girls.
Who else gives mom vibes? Rashida Jones? What's Rashida Jones costing?
I don't think we even need somebody that gives, mom vibes would be nice.
We'll cast a lot of cast. Unknown.
We'll give but a we lot,
trust
yeah.
her. We trust her. We know her. We're going to bring her in.
And she is a mom.
She's going to riff well with Kevin James.
But if Zalata's going to be in the movie, we got to throw her a bone. No pun intended with the dog stuff. But
the bone is being in the movie. She's going to make so much money.
Yeah. That's true. She'll do it for a lot of money, I think.
Yeah. And her kids can be in there. Her kids can play her kids in the movie.
That's good. So they all get an IMBD credit.
Yeah.
That's good. And then her dogs could be in there. Jessica could be in there.
All right, what are we missing besides the dog breed? For an official movie pitch, Corgi's going to be my vote on the breed.
It has to be a shelter rescue. So then people, we could give that fun fact about the movie, like, this is actually a rescue puppy. And at the end of filming, one of the producers took home the puppy. And now that puppy's adopted and has a family. People would be like, oh, that's really cool with them.
Yeah,
we're doing it for the good looks, though. This is for the press.
We also got to get multiple babies.
The baby has to be played like 7 different babies, so that's a fun fact that comes out afterwards. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, when they're adults, you know? Because, you know, they did that with Big Daddy, with Adam Sandler. The twins in Sweet Life and Zach and Cody, those Cole and Dylan Sprouse, they both played that kid in Big Daddy. They took turns because they're twins.
Yeah, because normally it's twins because of the strict hours on how long children can shoot. Easy way to get around it.
Shoot
with one baby and then you switch to the other one.
That's true. So,
we'd find triplets. We'd need
multiple babies for legal reasons.
We'd cast 3 local triplets.
That's kind of all we need for it. It just said a budget and then a full script. I'm like, well, we aren't thinking about that. But we got the studio.
No, we know our budget. Kevin James, we can get down to our budget here.
Yeah, okay. One movie, Kevin James.
I'm gonna pitch a budget. I wanna know if it's gonna be below the average Netflix movie. I'll have you guess here in a second. Kevin James is gonna cost, I'm guessing, less than $1 million, right? $750,000, $7,500,000. There's no way he's $1 million for a movie.
I think $750,000 is probably.
I think we're gonna spend $1 million on Sofia Vergara. I think there's.
You really think she's $1 million?
I think there's a strong possibility Sofia Vergara costs a pretty penny to beat. She costs more than Kevin.
You really think so, though? Not like around the same, because she doesn't do that much movies anymore. You know what I mean? Like,
I know, but Modern Family like printed money. Like, none of those people have to act.
That's true.
Kevin James needs money. Like, Kevin, this will be something to revitalize Kevin's career. That's what people will be saying after this.
I don't know. He seems pretty well off to me, but I get what you mean. Yeah, do the
movie choice wise, he's doing a movie right now that both of us, I know this for a fact, both of us can tell you it's called like Solo Maya. We couldn't tell you what the plot. We probably both have seen a trailer for it. We've seen multiple teasers.
He did a lot of promotion for it.
Yeah.
Did he ever come out with that movie where he was like a school teacher and he was doing?
I literally think that that's the movie.
That's the movie.
Yeah, I think that he was doing all that for that.
Wow. Okay, I think we got everything, though. I'm going to say
the budget is going to be $5.7 million. Look up the average Netflix movie budget.
Okay.
I think we can come in below it. Zalata's going to be almost free. We'll throw Zalata $100,000.
Average.
Shout out the
Netflix.
Dog.
Netflix original movie budget?
Yeah.
Netflix original movie budgets vary widely, typically ranging from $20 million to over $200 million.
Oh, I could get this movie done for $10 million.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I could get a good version of this movie done for $10 million. I just need an old set. We need an old set of a sitcom house. Right. Like, this is what I would ask for. I'd be like, hey, do you have a sitcom that you recently tried and it didn't work out? You have the set from that. Boom. That's the set of the house.
Yeah.
And then all you need is Kevin. And we're Kevin's improving a lot of this. Like, a lot of this, yeah, we're like, here's the general. Oh, the director. This is what we're missing.
Ooh.
Who's the guy that did Knocked Up and all that? Judd Apatow.
Judd Apatow to do it?
Judd Apatow, come out. Come outside and do this.
Come outside. Pull up. We got a movie for you.
I'm going to call Judd Apatow and be like, listen, man, we're going to make a classic 80s style comedy.
This is a good 80s style comedy. It's gonna be a pretty unique, I think, plot line. Like, I know you said you think it's been done before, but like, watching a kid and a dog and potty training them the whole same weekend, that's pretty original, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be mostly Kevin just joking around with a dog and a baby. It's going to be like, Kevin, what do you think you can do? We're going to be walking around rooms of a house and be like, Kevin, what's like something funny you could do in here with a baby? That's all, like, that would be, we would throw Netflix a script, but that would be thrown out almost immediately. It'd just be like, Kevin, what do you think? In the kitchen, what are we going to do in here? And it's like, oh, you're trying to make a sandwich of peanut butter. And like, then you put a little poop. He puts a little poop from the diaper on the peanut butter sandwich.
He thought it was Nutella.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This man. Hey, Adrian and Paul, we may have just gave you a free $1 million idea.
Yeah. We're going to send you this, and we'll go ahead and send the Venmo request at the same time. All right. So at the closer of the podcast, one of us says a big fact, and then the other one says a no cap.
Oh, this is my big fact. Hey, yo, I'm Christian Williams. At the beginning of the podcast, I also played Adrian Guatemala.
At the podcast.
And my big fact is that a lot of times there's a lot more animals in places than there are people. Kangaroos in Australia.
Businesses.
Businesses and bees. Rats in New York.
So my no cap is that potty training a dog seems much easier than potty training a baby. So don't get a baby. Just get a dog. You know what I mean? You agree with me?